Welcome to Ray and Tay today, talking sports with friends.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Let's talk some sports. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, we're everywhere. Check out the website, very interactive, at rayandtaytoday.com, and shoot us your emails. You know, we're talking everything. So you want to tell us about your NBA Finals, what you think? We're talking Big Three, stuff like that. Hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Busy show. Ray, let them know. We got our listeners with the Urban Daily. Let them know what we're talking about.
Yeah, welcome to all of those listening to us on the Urban Daily. We welcome you to the show. So, yeah, we got a lot to talk about. We got a quick-hitting 30-minute show. We're going to get right into the sports news. We've got some breaking news in the NFL. We have some injuries. We have some no-shows. We've got some NHL playoffs. We had the Indy 500 over the weekend. Then we'll talk quickly about baseball. Can't forget about baseball. And then the second half of the show is all about the NBA playoffs. We'll talk about Miami, who's rolling. We'll talk about OKC, who might have themselves a big three. And then we'll finish the show with our segment, Big Threes. We'll talk about the best big threes in NBA history. So we've got a lot to jump into.
Some good ones, too. Well, let's do it right off the presses. Let's go to the NFL, man, and Ray's Cowboys linebacker, who can never stay healthy, Sean Lee, got injured in OTAs, the first day of OTAs for the Cowboys. 25 teams are now practicing, and they're suspecting that it could be a torn ACL. We send our prayers, man. I hope this guy can play this season and is healthy. I really feel bad for him. He's a great player. He's your defensive quarterback, but he just can't stay on the field. And he had a partial tear of the ACL in 09. He was out last season for a long time. I mean, what are your thoughts, man? What are you going to do? You ready to sign Jonathan Vilma?
Cry a little bit? Shed a tear?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean Lee. The only thing with the Cowboys is that it's structured in his contract that he has to play 80% of the snaps on defense to make his money. So they might get some relief if he doesn't. But he is a great player that can't stay on the field. I got to give Trent Dilfer, he coined the phrase, the best ability is availability. So first
That's
thing
right.
you have to do is be on the field. And Sean Lee, for the past 2 years, hasn't been on the field. So that third worst defense in NFL history, by the numbers, lost its best defensive player. And then you figure DeMarcus Ware and Anthony Spencer. So I don't know what to expect from this Cowboys team, but it's not looking good. It's not looking good for all those Cowboy fans out there.
How about them Cowboys? Well, look, it is what it is. What happened at Indy 500? I know in the Sprint Cup, my Sprint Chase, my boy Jimmy Johnson won. Tell us who broke down and got the Indy 500.
My boy Helio Castroneves came in close. He was close.
He was close. You did say that.
1/100th of a second behind, but he lost to Ryan Hunter Ray, who was the first American champ since 2006. So shout out. I think it was the second closest margin of victory of all time. So super
yeah, it was a
close.
Great race.
Yeah, great race. Indy 500 is a great tradition on Memorial Day, and yeah, we'll keep an eye out on that young driver. See if he can make his way in the IndyCar series.
And you know what's tipped off for you tennis fans? The French Open has begun. So, you know, I don't know who's going to win. I'll tell you this: you know, you got Murray looking good. Some other guys. We have any upsets early? I think there might have been a couple, huh?
Yeah, no. Carolyn Wozniacki's out. It's Lee Na is out.
What's happening?
So those two powerhouses on the women's side are both out. So we'll see. Next week is probably when we'll focus on some French Open.
And Na lost in three sets. Wow, yeah. Well, you know, listen, it's one of those things where it's a major. you know, you want to see if I want to see if whatchamacallit is coming back, Venus Williams. I don't know if she's healthy at all, but it'd be interesting to see if she could get it together. The French Open is definitely, you know, I see the young girl, Sloane Stephens, won. So we'll see what happens with that. Well, let's keep it moving and grooving, because you know what's happening in hockey? We might have someone clinching a berth tonight for the Stanley Cup. You have the Rangers against the Canadiens. They're up 3-1 tonight at 8 o'clock. They go back to battle. I don't know if Montreal, maybe at home, they can push it to 6. I think this is over. I think the Rangers might win at 6, but I do think it's over. Canadiens, it's just going to have to be, it's going to have to be hard. They need a strong performance at home. They really do. And it's going to be about their goaltending.
This series has been so close. They've gone to overtime multiple times. Martin St. Louis had a great, you know, basically uncontested shot to win the game. And he's got 4 overtime goals in his playoff career. That's pretty clutch. So, yeah, the Rangers are looking good. First time since 94 that they'll be if they win.
Fans are going wild, man.
In the Stanley Cup Finals. Yeah, it's heating up here in New York. So, yeah, all those Ranger fans out there are very excited after a few years of disappointing and losing in the Eastern Conference Finals to get and ride the back of Henrik Lundqvist and that big trade, you know, midway through the season. They traded for Martin
Saint
Louis.
That trade was huge. Yeah, that was a great trade.
And gave up Paul Callahan. So, we'll see. We'll see. Rangers
and a lot of people were critical of it. You know, I remember we mentioned the trade on the air, but a lot of people were critical of it. But sometimes, you know, a great player for a great player, I guess it's paid off. So give them kudos for that. And then the Kings are up 3-1, and they might be able to wrap it up on Wednesday. So we could, you know, get the Stanley Cup Finals going by the end of the week or the weekend. So that should be kind of interesting.
Yeah, either
you know
way, I think the NHL is doing fine, though, because New York and Montreal are big hockey towns. Chicago's a hockey town. L.A. maybe not, but it's a big media market. And, of course, the last 2 years, they've been, you know, they've been great. So NHL's okay. NHL is liking these potential finals matchups.
No, they definitely are. So let me ask you, who's got the big bat? Who's the home run king for you? Because right now you got Tulowitzki, you got Stanton, and, oh, my God, and who's the other guy in the American League? So we got 16, 15, and 15. These guys are banging them out. And I'm telling you right now, there's a big series, this battle between the Blue Jays and the Rays. They play tonight. They're in Toronto. I'm fascinated because the Blue Jays are the hottest team in baseball right now, and they are looking like they're trying to get it together, finally, the talent, right? Everybody's playing, the pitching's going, they're hitting. And Edwin Encarnacion, he's got 15 homers. That's who it is. He's up there with those guys. So are the Blue Jays for real, and what's wrong with the Red Sox? They finally won, but they lost 10 in a row.
10 in a row. If they had lost 11 in a row, it would have been the worst losing streak in their history and the worst losing streak for a defending champ. You know, even with all that, they're still 8 games back, the Red Sox. I'm not saying they're going to win the division, even though I did predict them to win and go to the playoffs. So I might have to give them my new mid-season rankings. Toronto, you know what? I'm still not sure about Toronto, even though they're 9-1 in their last 10, and they're the only one with the positive run differential in the American League East. I'm not sure. They've always had the talent, but something always happens. Somebody gets hurt. They go into a slump after, you know, June, July, August. So wake me up after the All-Star break. So mid-July, let's revisit this with the Blue Jays.
Maybe this
I'm not
is their
sure
time.
They're for real. I'm not sure they're
Maybe
for real. I do like our Yankees being 27-23, 2 games back.
Playing good?
Yeah, playing
you could,
okay.
You, You could argue, though, that they might need to make a move for a pitcher. I'll tell you what's fascinating, right? The whole Jeter tour, now they're in St. Louis and they're getting all these gifts. He does not like it. You know, he was getting a standing ovation, they said, in Chicago with the White Sox. And, you know, he kind of said to the catcher overheard him. He was like, okay, let's just get it going.
But that's his bad, though. He announced before spring training that he was retiring. So
well, I think he wanted to do
the right
thing.
He had to know that this was coming. I mean, he does the right thing.
I just think he's so quiet and like, I don't know if he's humble, but he's very quiet and he doesn't like a big to-do about him. You know, and of course everybody's going to honor him. I think it's great for baseball, right? I mean, I think a legend of baseball, you know, it's such a, you know, going on a tour, you play in almost every stadium, you know, why not give him, you know, his honor or honor
the
him
only
and
issue
send him goodbye.
Is that The only issue is that as a Yankee fan or somebody who watches these Yankee games is that we just went through the same thing with Mariano. So they both deserve it, don't get me wrong. It's just a little annoying that it's back-to-back seasons
that we have to go through this in every stop. Yeah. Come on. We got to give Jeter his props, man.
That's my problem. I just hate that it's in back-to-back seasons. I'm tired of it, you know?
Yeah, well,
but it's all right. He deserves it. He's had a heck of a career, 5-time champ. You know, this guy has really been whatever you want to say about professional athletes. You want your kid to be Derek Jeter. You know, this guy's been the model on and off the field.
Definitely so. Now let's talk a little NBA before we get to the playoffs. We still got some coaching positions. And a lot of rumors. The Kings and the Wizards are both trying to talk about trading for Kevin Love. And the Kings are like, hey, we'll do it without even getting a guarantee of him re-signing. What do you think about these teams? And is it worth the risk to take a Kevin Love in a trade if you don't have a guarantee that he'll re-sign with you? Would you take that risk?
So for a normal team, I wouldn't. But if I'm the Sacramento Kings, who haven't been good since the early 2000s when they just fell apart in Game 7 against the Lakers in that 2000 series with, you know, when they had
Stojakovic, Weber, Vlade,
Stojakovic, you know, they had that unbelievable front court.
Bibby.
So, you know what? That Kings team is so desperate for an anchor player. I mean, they have talent, though. They have DeMarcus. So what would they give up? I mean, they obviously wouldn't give up DeMarcus Cousins. That's probably the only guy that's untouchable on that roster. But what would they give up? I mean, they give up Isaiah Thomas, McLemore, you know, anybody else.
Yeah, the
eighth
pick. And some stuff.
I guess.
Yeah, I don't
it's
know.
It's one of those teams that they might need to make one of those moves and try to convince him to say, look, we've seen it work and we've seen it not work, right? We've seen it where
well, just
you know,
look at Howard. He didn't stay
Dwight
with the Lakers.
Howard is when it didn't work, right? Dwight Howard. But are the Lakers that much worse off? I don't think so. They have his money. They have salary cap relief. Now, all that money's tied up in Kobe, but it's not. They're not really that devastated because they didn't keep Dwight Howard. I mean, financially, that is. I mean, they'd obviously be much better now if they had Howard. So I think for a team like Sacramento, it might be worth it. They need to give their fans and they need to give their franchise something to look forward to. Now, remember that Kevin Love is an Oregon kid who went to UCLA. So he's a West Coast guy playing in Sacramento, playing for that new owner. Shaq's a part owner. I mean, obviously a real minority owner, but they might be able to keep him. You might be surprised.
They might be able
Kevin
to keep
Love,
him.
Even though he wants to be in L.A., Kevin Love, they might be able to keep him in Sacramento.
Well, you know what's also fascinating? The Wizards, they were talking about they could make a play. You know, they would only really want Bradley Beal. I don't know if they want to give him up. But, it's exciting. And I'm going to be fascinated to see this NBA draft. There might be a lot of moves, a lot of teams trying to trade up, and teams who have multiple picks, like the Sixers, you know, Phoenix got a bunch, Orlando up high, you know, teams might try to get in to get, you know, some of this top 8 or 9 talent. And by the way, Joel Embiid is 100%. So he's recovered and he's feeling good.
And he's the number one pick.
So that's what I think. I think the Cavs have to take him. I really do. I wouldn't even trade the pick. Forget about Kevin Love, veteran. You know, he might not, whatever. But it's about getting a coach, too. So I think the Lakers, Alvin Gentry, that's not exciting. Really? If you're a Laker fan, do you want Alvin Gentry?
How far have the Lakers fallen when a Clippers assistant is one of your top candidates? And it's not like he's a young, up-and-coming Brad, you know, Stevens, 30 years old.
No, he's been a coach already.
Alvin's been around the block.
Hey, our guy signed an extension at UConn, Kevin Ollie, so we got to give him some props. You know, he's decided to stay.
They took care of him.
Yeah. I think it's the right thing. So let's talk about these playoffs, man. The Heat, they're up 3-1. They kind of put it on the Pacers last night, even though Paul George and Lance Stephenson think they outplayed them for some reason. I don't know why, but, I think what you're seeing is it's the big three, but it's also four Hall of Famers with Ray Allen on that team. Now, interestingly enough, without your boy Anderson and Ray Allen are both iffy for the next game, for Game 5. So I don't know if that gives the Pacers a big boost. But give Rashard Lewis credit when his starting lineup and played well. What did you think about LeBron's dominance, Bosch's big game, and Hibbert again with another donut?
You know, Hibbert is an enigma. I don't understand how you could be 7-2, be an all-star, and have, I think the number is 6. Out of his last 21 playoff games, he's put up a donut 6 times. Now, you should be able to get an offensive rebound and a putback and at least get a bucket when you're 7-2.
That's an effort bucket.
Yeah, and even if you score 0, if you're going to score 0, give me 11 boards and 4 blocks. I'll take that.
Exactly.
Dominate. Yeah. Do something.
Do something.
Dominate. Use your size, right? And I get it that Chris Bosh is a tough matchup, especially when, you know, he goes out and shoots a little bit. But for the most part, when you're playing Birdman and Udonis Haslam, I mean, that should favor you and your size because they're not that skilled offensively. So I'm very disappointed in Roy Hibbert. I thought that they were
move him in offseason? Do they go a different direction? Can they dump that contract?
The problem is the one thing that they have over the rest of the league is size. And like when we talked about this a week ago, like I said, is that I think that's the only way they can win is if they play to their strength and their strength delivers. Now, only David West has been consistent in the front court for them. But
he's great.
The fact that they can throw Scola, West, Mahimi, and Hibbert, when they're playing well, that's actually a pretty formidable front court. The problem,
Ballin.
And then George. But the problem is they're not consistent. So if you break that up, then what do you get? Then you have Lance Stephenson as a free agent. You have to sign him, and then you lose Hibbert. So the dynamic of your team changes. But they might have to because Larry Bird is a tough dude as a player, and he sees his players, and he's probably saying to himself,
well, he wants effort. Give the effort. You know what I mean? And Hibbert, the effort is inconsistent. You can't have that.
And it's almost like this team digressed. Not almost. This team digressed. I mean, this team played better last year and the year before because you could argue that this Heat team is worse than it was the last couple years. They're older. They're a little bit more banged up. Now, granted, they're more experienced. So this was the year, and Indiana wanted home court and got home court. So
and they're not
the
getting anything
Indiana
from Evan Turner in terms of getting rid of Granger. You're not getting anything
write
from
that
Turner.
Off, right? That's all right. Write that off. This same team without Evan Turner took the Heat to 7, swore up and down that if Game 7 was in their building, that they'd win. So they had a bullseye.
But your boy Paul George
exactly
is choking. He's not playing big.
He's not ready.
We got a caller here.
He's only 24, so Paul George still has a year or two to get it together. But I'm disappointed with the Pacers, and they may have to be, I don't know if completely broken up, but you may have to shake up
adjusted.
That team.
I might have to adjust the roster.
All right, caller, we got a caller. Caller, you're on the air with Ray and Tay. Welcome. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Hello, caller?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey,
yeah,
what's going on,
here.
Yo?
Hey.
All right. What's going
what's
on?
What's up, Oren?
I hope you everybody had a good Memorial Day. It's Oren. What's going on?
Hey, Oren, big Oren, what's going on?
Definitely, we did.
Oh,
man. Come on, what's the deal, man? Are the Pacers
news.
Done or what? The
Pacers
done?
Done?
Do
man.
They need to trade Hibbert?
Pacers.
What's going on?
They need to cut that brother. It's quick. He is. I mean, he's turned from 7 feet 2 to mini-me. I mean, that dude is just. I mean, you know how he just. He has no heart. I mean, the heart's gone. He has, what,
yeah,
six games with no points?
Yeah, that's
four
unbelievable.
With no rebounds?
At 7-2
yeah,
290,
four
right?
In this playoff, I think, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, this playoff alone. How you don't get a rebound? You don't score. 7-2? That's just, and you know, honestly, I think I told you before, I thought the Wizards could have knocked them off.
They're lucky to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. They're not the best team. They're not the second best team in the East right now. They're playing maybe the eighth best in the East.
I agree. I mean, I think it's the bad part about it, I really believe that Vogel's done a great job because he's dealt with all these people, all his team, not having their heads in the game, but still pulling them through each round. They should have got bumped by the Hawks. They should have got bumped by the Wizards, but he pulled them through. But it's not going to work this time.
You know what's so funny? I've been ripping Vogel, but I actually have to change my mind and agree with that statement that you made there, Oren. He's dealing with a bunch of head cases and a team that's so unstable this season in the playoffs. You're right. I guess it's actually he's been doing whatever's you know he can to push whatever button to survive in advance. So you're right. I actually got to give him credit because I've been ripping him, but it's these guys. It's the players. They're not doing their
job. I have a theory that something happened, or maybe several things happened in that locker room, that because
mm-hmm.
it's a small market in Indiana, they didn't let it get out. But I have a feeling something
yeah.
sour in that locker room between these players. And it's not just one thing, and it's not just two players. I got a feeling that something's going on, and we just don't know. Because this is just not natural to see this team this good, this focused, collapse like that.
But
there could have been some big fight or something.
But I don't think anybody has much adversity in the playoffs of the Clippers in this whole playoffs this year. And if they could have pulled together and played, and they played a tough team and still played, there's no excuse for the Pacers. Because when you're on the basketball court, that's your escape from the real world or whatever is going on. You know, after you
no,
get
that's
off the
true.
Court.
There's no excuse for this. Whatever it turns out to be, and we might find out later, there is no excuse for it. And maybe it's just jealousy and not liking each other and, you know, who knows. But whatever it is, it's very bizarre, though, because they'll play one game where they share the ball and they're passing and this and that, and then the next game it's like everybody's just heaving up, you know, the shot, you know, not sharing the ball. It's very bizarre. So let me ask you this. Ray and I will get ready to talk about it. You look in the Western Conference – tonight's a big game. The Thunder could tie it up 2-2. How big was Ibaka, and do you think OKC's big three will take out the Spurs' big three, and maybe they could win this series?
I think Ibaka made a valiant effort, but the coach is playing him too many minutes. But somebody with a calf injury that you declared out, he came back, he had his moment, he played good, but he should have taken him out of the game. A little. You have to depend on those two superstars to carry your load if he wasn't there. And I'm just surprised that Ibaka means that much to that team that they play night and day without him. And all they're going to do, I believe, Popovich is going to work on getting him, trying to get him in foul trouble, of keying matchups on him. He's going to do something about Ibaka. And then we'll see how strong they are. I just don't see them beating San Antonio. San Antonio, I think, has thought about Miami all season. And there's nothing stopping them. There's nothing stopping them from getting there to match
yeah,
up with them
true.
Boys again.
This Thunder team, though, is a bad matchup for them. They've lost 7 out of the last 8 in Oklahoma City, and Ibaka's averaging 4 blocks a game. He takes Tony Parker out of the game, at least in the inside, with his little teardrop. That's a bad – you know how we say fights make – matchups make fights. This is a bad, bad matchup for the Spurs.
Look at the Nets.
I like Ibaka.
All season, 4-0. And what happened to
that? So you know what, Oren? You got to think about this. What Ibaka does, he's a 4 that that shoots outside. So he can pull Splitter or Duncan away from the rim, which helps OKC and Westbrook the way he rebounds as a guard. Arguably, you could say Westbrook, out of all these point guards, has had the best NBA playoffs this year. Westbrook, quiet as kept, his stats have been ridiculous. You know, he's got more. Yeah. Oh, he's had more triple doubles than anybody.
Oh,
he's,
okay.
You know, when,
okay.
Even in his bad games, he'll get 24 points, 7 assists, 6-7 rebounds. Check out Westbrook, man. He's been balling. So I don't know. I mean, you could be right, Orin, but I got to tell you, I got a funny feeling if Ibaka is healthy for the remainder of this series, I think OKC will take him in 7. I really do.
Well, I think it's going to be good basketball on that side, but the East is done.
Yeah, I agree. We all agree on that. Yeah, I think if it weren't for these two injuries, they'd win tonight, and they still might. They still might win the next game, or tomorrow night.
So let me ask you, before we let you go, who's your favorite big three? Is it Pippen, Jordan, Rodman? Is it Magic, Worthy, Kareem? Who's your favorite big three of all time?
I have to go with Showtime. Magic,
yeah.
Worthy, and Kareem. I mean, I think just for the flair they gave to the game, the excitement, the wins, I have to give it to them. You know, San Antonio, they're great. They just tied the Lakers for their minor playoff win. But their basketball is not as exciting as the big three on the Lakers was with Showtime. So, you know, for that, the flair and all, and what they did to the game, I have to give it to them. I have to give it to the Lakers.
Yeah, that's a great choice. I can't, you know, nothing you can say against that.
All right, cool, man. Well, thanks, Owen, for calling. We'll be back on Friday, so give us a ring, man. And we got to laugh at Ray and our boy Fish's Cowboys, because they cannot do anything right. Poor Sean Lee getting hurt. We hope he's okay, but the Cowboys are a mess. They're just a mess.
All right, fellas, y'all take it easy. I'll talk to you Friday.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Thanks for the call.
So real quick, before we start with the big threes, just wrapping up this series, do you like – I mean, Ibaka was great in that game. I got to say, OKC, what do you think? The Spurs, can they do it?
I thought
Parker?
With Ibaka, it was OKC in 6. Without Ibaka, it was San Antonio in 6. See, but here I'm monkey in the middle now, because I think that Ibaka's not 100%. He played 30 minutes. He didn't practice today, so he is gimpy, and I don't think he's at 100%. So if that's the case, I believe that San Antonio will squeak it out in 7. But if Ibaka's healthy, I like Oklahoma City. It's a bad matchup. It's a bad matchup. Makes fights. Now, Popovich is the one coach I would like to coach to scheme up against it, but he hasn't been able to do it in the past 3 years. And like I told you, the critical game was the 2011 Game 3, where San Antonio was up 2 games, up at halftime, and then boom, the Thunder never looked back. And from then, the Thunder have dominated the Spurs.
I'm going to tell you, if Westbrook can't penetrate and get in the lane, I think 80% of Ibaka will be enough to beat them. I think Durant and Westbrook did not play great last game. Ibaka gave them a big surge of energy, and I think being at home and if they can get their shots going and get hot, I think it might be enough to propel them to do it. So let's throw on some quick beats and come back with Ray and Tay breaking down the NBA's big threes, who's the best in history.
We're back, and as our friends De La Soul said, 3, that's the magic number.
Magic number.
So we've
yes,
got about
is.
5 or 6 teams that have had a big three. Now, it's debatable whether the OKC Thunder have a big three with Serge Ibaka coming on the scene.
No, you got to – look, to me, you got to win at least 2 rings. At least 2 rings. So, like, I even like the Pistons, the Knicks. You know, the Knicks had Willis Reed – DeBuscher and Frazier, the Pistons had Isaiah, Dumars, Lambeer. You know, those aren't the best ones, but I like those too. But for me, let's just look at the Celtics of the 80s, the Lakers of the 80s, even though Cooper is in the stat, we know Worthy is the main part of the big three, and then the Bulls and the Heat, those four. Who would you put number one out of the Heat, who are working on their third ring, the Bulls with Rodman, over the Bulls with Horace Grant, and then Lakers, and then the Celtics, Bird, Mikal Parrish. Or you could even say Bird, Mikal DJ.
Yeah, right? So the Bulls, it's funny because three is the magic number, because the Bulls won three and then three again with Rodman and you know, Horace Grant. The Heat are on their way to maybe winning three. The Spurs won three.
Yeah.
The Lakers won four, though. This combo won four. And, well, the Cooper combo, yeah. And then if you put James Worthy in, they won four. The Celtics won three, Bird, McHale, and
Parrish.
Robert Parrish, but they were all in the front court.
DJ.
I got to take versatility, right? I got to take backcourt and front court. So to me, that's got to be, I think I agree with Oren, I think it's got to be the Lakers. I think it's got to be Magic, Worthy/Cooper, and Kareem, because you had the big man, you had the point guard, and you had the small forward. So you had the one, the three, and the five. So to me, that's the perfect combo. That's the perfect big three.
Obviously, Magic, you know, one of the best assist men and passers of all time, you know, what he did with the Sixers when Kareem missed the game, and, you know, his rookie year, he gets 42-10 and wins the championship playing center. Magic is just amazing. Kareem, incredible. And I think Worthy has maybe been underrated. Worthy was an amazing small forward who was dominant and really was the Lakers' go-to guy for a long time. They needed a clutch hoop. Worthy was money on that baseline. I mean, and on the break? Wow. But how about what the Bulls did? Because like you said, it's two sets of threes, but Jordan and Pippen, they're undefeated, man. They're 6-0.
If you're going to say big two, that might be, you know, them and maybe, you know, Bob Cousy and Bill Russell. I mean, that's unbelievable. And you got to throw
Russell, Cousy, and Havlicek, what do they have together? I think like seven or, you know, there's nine for Russell.
Seven or eight, I think.
Yeah, but yeah, they got Russell, like seven together, with Cousy. And, no, that's amazing. But you got to give some love, though, man, because whether you say it's Dennis Johnson, Ainge, or Parrish, Bird and Mikal were amazing.
Yeah, they were.
I mean,
and you
Larry
know what?
Legend,
they were
man.
Tough, and they had to go up against the Lakers. So to me, that means that one of those two teams, right, Bird's teams won three, Magic's teams won five. So in a span of 10 or 11 years, I guess the Sixers won one and the Pistons, the Pistons were after them, but the Sixers won one. So in the span of, 10 years, they won eight championships. So they had to beat up on each other. So those two teams maybe together dominated the 80s, and they were the best big six. But here's something to think about, though, to marinate on this for a minute. If we get a Heat-Spurs rematch, and you get big three versus big three, the Heat big three, if they win, that means they will have won three in a row and have been to the finals four straight years, which hasn't been done since the Celtics. And if the Spurs win, that means that they will have won four as a big three. Timmy would have had five. They will have had four championships spanning from 2003 to 2014. So
that could be more impressive than anything because of the time.
And they have the best winning percentage in the regular season, and they have the most amount of wins in the playoffs. So if you want to just talk about what's the name of the game, winning, you got to say the Spurs, especially if they keep going and they go to the finals and win. That big three, that's undeniable. I mean, that puts them up in Magic, you know, Kareem.
Well, and you know, one big three we got to give some love to and mention is Kobe, Shaq, and you know, Derek Fisher or
Rick Fox
or whatever, but probably
Rick Fox. Truly two and a half men. You know, it's really the
two, but,
and then one.
But listen, they were dominant, and if they didn't break up, who knows how many they could have won. They did have that horrible loss losing to Detroit. That was ridiculous.
Five. That was terrible.
And five with Karl Malone and Gary Payton. Woof.
Ben
that was
Wallace
a rough one, Ray.
That series. But give Larry Brown credit. And give Chauncey Billups and Rip Hamilton and these guys, they did it. Corliss Williamson. That was a
And we
that
said
was a
that's the last
team
to win without Hall of Famers.
That was the only team in the last 35 years to win without Hall of Famers. I mean,
I don't
any
know if
team
it could be
that
duplicated.
Wins, any of these four teams that win, there's multiple Hall of Famers on every team left in the – well, maybe not the Pacers, but in the other three that really have a chance to win. You basically – for all you GMs out there listening to Ray and Tate today, go get yourself at least two Hall of Famers because that's how you win an NBA championship. The Detroit
it
Pistons of 405 where they won one and then went to game seven and lost to the Spurs, that's an anomaly. That's hard to do, to get five or six really good players. You need two excellent players, and then you fill around them.
So before we go, I got to ask you this. If the Heat do win again, is there no debate that basically we already know Ray Ray's a Hall of Famer and LeBron, Wade? We've sort of teeter-tottered on this and debated it on our show last year during the playoffs. I think it might be fair to say Bosh, he disappears so much, but would you say Bosh is a Hall of Famer?
If he wins this championship, I got to say yes, because he was a dominant player in Toronto. It's not like he came from college and just rode the coattails of Wade and James. That first it was
he earned his stripes by himself.
He earned his
stripes. He put a team on his back. Yeah.
And he may leave like the rest of them after this year or maybe after next year. But I think if you go to the NBA Finals four times, winning three, and he was an integral part of that team. It's not like he was an afterthought. And he carried that team on some nights. And you know what? He had to put his ego in check. I think Dwayne Wade.
He sacrificed the most
LeBron
out of those three,
James,
definitely.
And think about how crazy that'll be, that draft class where those guys were 1, 4, and 5 in that draft class with only Darko and Carmelo in the middle.
Yeah.
The three of them from the same draft class they should all retire together and go into the Hall of Fame together. But the problem is LeBron's younger than all of them. But Bosh is a Hall of Famer if they win.
Yeah, no, I would have to agree. I would have to agree. Well, look, it's fascinating. It's fun to debate the big threes. Last year we did. People can go back and check out RayandTateToday.com. We did our top 15 players and, rank LeBron up in there. And he might be rising even more, Ray. We already said he was the number one small forward, which he's definitely, put more of a claim on that. So a lot of great shows to listen to on our site, and check that out. Always there. Also check us out on iTunes. Listen to our old podcast. But great show. I think it's over. I think they might even just win in Indiana, the Heat. And then tonight, you think OKC ties it up?
I do. I think San Antonio plays very well for three quarters, and then ultimately at home, OKC pulls away and ties the series 2-2. Serge, go Serge!
All right, well, let's go. Maybe we go to Vegas and hang out with Johnny Manziel.
Oh, boy. Andre Johnson might be there, too, because he didn't show up.
Yeah, listen, can we leave? It's time to go, but let's just say leave Johnny Manziel alone. Let the kid just have a little fun and play. I think he's going to be fine. I think it will be fine. So,
we'll be back
Friday. I think we're going to have a guest on Friday, a basketball player, plays overseas. So it'll be fun, and we'll talk to you then. So great show. Thanks for listening.
Ray and Tay today, talking sports with friends.
Sports.
We are out.
Peace. We're out.
How you do with your lost ass crew. That's why I got the roadmap just for you.